today's message is not entirely uplifting. The title is Tisha B'Av, A Day of Sorrow. And Av is the name of the fifth month of the year in the Hebrew calendar. And Tisha B'Av, Tisha B'Av means in Hebrew the ninth day of the fifth month, Av. And July 30th is the ninth day of the fifth month this year. Tradition says that this is the day that the spies returned from the land of Canaan with a report that Israel responded to with fear and weeping. The last day of travel back home to the camp of Israel was the eighth day of Av. They arrived close to sundown, and then the ninth day, the next day, they gave their report. Hebrews 13 tells us that Moses was sending one leading man from each of the 12 tribes to spy out the land and to tell how good the land was and what kind of people lived there. After 40 days, they returned with some wonderful produce of the land. They had a bunch of grapes that one man couldn't carry. They put it on a pole, and two men carried it between them. 10 men told of fierce and powerful people there and said the Israelites could not invade it. But two, Joshua and Caleb, said that they could surely take the land with Yahweh's help. I use the name of Moses' servant as Joshua, but it's similar to the Savior's name, Yahshua. Okay. In Numbers 14, we see the rejection of Yahweh by the Israelites. Yahweh was very angry with them and wanted to destroy all of them. But Moshe prayed for them, and Yahweh decided to destroy the 10 unbelieving evil spies immediately, which he did, and the rest of the adults of Israel over the next 40 years, and then let the next generation take the promised land. Chapters 13 and 14 of Numbers are worth reading. Yahweh had delivered his people from bondage in Egypt with many mighty miracles, the 10 plagues and the Red Sea crossing, and brought them to the brink of the land that he had promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So the sages say that when Yahweh saw Israel weep, he declared, "I will give you cause for weeping on this day." And so it is that the ninth of Av, Tisha B'Av in Hebrew, has become a day of mourning and of sorrow. The scripture records Yahweh saying in Numbers 14:34, "According to the number of the days in which you spied out the land, 40 days, for each day you shall bear your guilt 1 year, namely 40 years, and you shall know my rejection. I, Yahweh, have spoken this. I will surely do so to all this evil congregation who are gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall be consumed, and there they shall die." It has become traditional for Jews to fast on the ninth day of the fifth month. In Zechariah 7, we read in verse 3, "To ask the priests who were in the house of Yahweh of hosts, and the prophets, saying, should we weep in the fifth month and fast as I have done for so many years? Then the word of Yahweh of hosts came to me, saying, say to all the people of the land and to the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh months during these 70 years, did you really fast for me? For me? Yahweh didn't appreciate that fast. It didn't do what should have been done in the first place. It was at the time of Tisha B'Av that Solomon's temple was destroyed in 586 BCE. That's before the Common Era, 500 years before the birth of the Messiah. The end of Israel's war with the Babylonian Chaldean Empire was as follows. We'll read about it in 2 Kings 25. 2 Kings 25, beginning at verse 8. And in the fifth month, on the seventh day of the month, which was the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, a servant of the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem. He burned the house of Yahweh and the king's house, all the houses of Jerusalem, that is, all the houses of the great, he burned with fire. And all the army of the Chaldeans, who were with the captain of the guard, broke down the walls of Jerusalem all around. Then Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive the rest of the people who remained in the city and the defectors who had deserted to the king of Babylon with the rest of the multitude. But the captain of the guard left some of the poor of the land as vine dressers and farmers. This land now belonged to the king of Babylon, so we ought to take care of it. Verse 13 of 2 Kings 25. The bronze pillars that were in the house of Yahweh, and the carts and the bronze sea that were in the house of Yahweh, and the Chaldeans broke in pieces and carried their bronze to Babylon. They also took away the pots, the shovels, the trimmers, the spoons, and all the bronze utensils with which the priests ministered. The fire pans and the basins, the things of solid gold and solid silver, the captain of the guard took away, of course. The two pillars, one sea, and the carts which Solomon had made for the house of Yahweh, the bronze of all these articles was beyond measure. The height of one pillar was 18 cubits. That's about 30 feet. Ooh. And the capital on it was of bronze. The height of the capital was 3 cubits. It's about 5 feet. And the network and pomegranates all around the capital were all of bronze. In case you haven't guessed by now, this was the Bronze Age. The second pillar was the same with a network, and the captain of the guard took Seraiah, the chief priest, Zephaniah, the second priest, and the three doorkeepers. He also took out of the city an officer who had been in charge of the men of war, 5 men of the king's close associates who were found in the city, the chief recruiting officer of the army, all who mustered the people of the land, and 60 men of the people of the land who were found in the city. So Nebuzaradan, captain of the guard, took these and brought them to the king of Babylon at Riblah. I'm sure he'll have some use for these men. Verse 21, then the king of Babylon struck them and put them to death at Riblah in the land of Hamath. Thus Judah was carried away captive from their own land. This was the beginning of the Babylonian captivity. Okay. 6.5 centuries later, in 70 of the Common Era, year 70, the second temple from the time of Yahshua the Messiah was destroyed on the 9th day of Av, Tisha B'Av. Over 2.5 million Jews were killed during that war with Titus, and over 1 million were sent into exile, together about the same number as had come out of Egypt. In the year 132, the Bar Kokhba rebellion was crushed by the Roman Emperor Hadrian. The city of Betar was destroyed, along with over 100,000 Jews, on Tisha B'Av. The following year, in 133, on Tisha B'Av, the Romans plowed the site of the temple and built a pagan city in its place. In 1095, on Tisha B'Av, the first crusades were declared by Pope Urban II, which led to the total destruction of the Jewish community in most of Rhineland and France. That's the border between France and Germany, where a lot of Jews had settled. In 1190, on Tisha B'Av, the Jews of York, England, committed mass suicide in response to the riots of the Third Crusade. Only recently did the British government retract the order of excommunication which had kept the Jews from settling in York. In 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. All of the Jews were forced to leave Spain by Tisha B'Av. Nearly 200,000 left on that one day. Centuries have passed, but Yahweh's prophecy does not fail. On August 1st, 1914, which is Tisha B'Av, Germany declared war on Russia. World War I began. It would set into motion events which would lead to the creation of the Soviet Union, which would wage a 75-year campaign to destroy everything Jewish within its borders. You may have seen the movie Fiddler on the Roof, and one of the Jews asked the rabbi, Is there a blessing we can say about the Tsar in Moscow? And he says, yes. May Abba Yahweh keep the Tsar far away from us. Okay. Let's see. I love it when I lose my place. Okay, here we are. World War I ended in the creation of a peace so debilitating to Germany that its people became easy prey to the nationalistic ranting of an itinerant house painter, Adolf Hitler, which set in motion the events of World War II. During World War II, Germany murdered 3/4 of the world Jewish population. Hitler began the extermination of the Jews on Tisha B'Av in 1942, when the Jews of the Warsaw Ghetto were deported to the Treblinka concentration and extermination camp. As recently as 1989, on Tisha B'Av, the Iranian delegation walked out of the Mideast peace talks in Kuwait. On Tisha B'Av, in 1994, the deadly bombing of the Jewish Community Center in Buenos Aires, Argentina, killed 86 Jewish people and wounded some 300 others. There are Jewish customs that are observed on this day. The restrictions on Tisha B'Av are similar to those on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, to refrain from eating and drinking even water, washing, bathing, shaving, or wearing cosmetics, wearing leather shoes, engaging in sexual relations, and studying Torah. Work in the ordinary sense of the word is also restricted. People who are ill do not need to fast on this day. Many of the traditional mourning practices are observed. People refrain from smiles, laughter, and idle conversation, and sit on the floor or on low stools. In the synagogue, the Book of Lamentations is read, and prayers of mourning are recited. The ark, that's the cabinet where the Torah is kept in the synagogue, is draped in black. What are the lessons of Tisha B'Av for us as believers? We may see several. First, that those who lack faith shall not inherit Yahweh's kingdom. We read in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to Elohim must believe that he is, and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. And I would say that diligently seeking Yahweh, and especially Yahshua, involves studying the New Testament, the writings in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Revelation, where Yahshua is quoted. We need to study those scriptures and make sure that we get to know Yahshua and the Father. As Yahshua reveals the Father, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. In Habakkuk 2:4, it says, behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faithfulness. I believe Yahweh has a great project planned for all his children to do, and that faith, along with love, is a necessary requirement for being able to complete this project. Our second lesson is that Yahweh watches over his word to perform it. As Joseph told Pharaoh in Genesis 41:32, the dream of Pharaoh was repeated twice because the thing is established by Elohim, and Elohim will shortly bring it to pass. That was the prophecy of the 7 years of good crops and then the 7 years of famine. And also, Yahweh said in Isaiah 46, beginning at verse 9, remember the former things of old, for I am Elohim and there is no other. I am Elohim and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. calling a bird of prey from the east, the man who executes my counsel from a far country. Indeed, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. That last verse sounds like it directly applies to the destruction of Jerusalem. The third reason that comes to mind, how we can learn from Tisha B'Av, is that Tisha B'Av is a traditional day of sorrow for the double destruction of Yahweh's temple. In the present day, through Yahshua the Messiah, we are Yahweh's temple. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, we read, "Do you not know that you are a temple of Yahweh, and that the Spirit of Elohim dwells in you? We are living stones," according to 1 Peter 2:5, "from all backgrounds, even with many Jewish stones included, whom we may not recognize as Jewish people. We are the temple, and sad to say, Yahweh's temple is not all that it should be. Many have allowed doctrinal differences and traditions of men to shape them into perverse forms, rather than to be formed exactly as Yahweh himself ordained, with all the stones fitting together perfectly in love." A good reading for this Sabbath is Habakkuk 1:1 to Habakkuk 2:4. It seems to be a prophecy of events of Tisha B'Av through the ages. Let's read it now. Habakkuk, beginning at the first verse in Habakkuk. Habakkuk 1:1. The message which the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Yahweh, till when shall I cry, and you not hear? I cry to you, violence, and you do not save. Why do you show me wickedness and cause me to see perversity? For ruin and violence are before me, and there is strife and contention arises. Therefore the Torah ceases, and right ruling or judgment never goes forth. The wrong hem in the righteous, so the right ruling comes out twisted. Look among the nations and see and be amazed. Be amazed, for a work is being worked in your days, which you would not believe if it were told. See, I am raising up the Chaldeans, a bitter and hasty nation, who is going through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. They are frightening and fearsome. Their right ruling and their exaltation proceed from themselves. Their horses shall be swifter than leopards and more fierce than evening wolves. And their horsemen shall charge ahead, and their horsemen come from afar. They fly as the eagles rushing to eat. All of them come for violence. The direction of their faces is like the east wind, and they gather captives like sand. And they scoff at sovereigns, and princes are a laughing matter to them. They laugh at every stronghold, for they pile up earth and seize it. Then shall he pass on as wind and transgress and be guilty and ascribe this power to his mighty one. Are you not from everlasting, O Yahweh, my Elohim, my set apart one? Do you not, do not die, O Yahweh? You have appointed them for right ruling, O Rock. You have established them for reproof. You, whose eyes are too clean to see evil, you are not able to look on wrong. Why do you look on those who act treacherously and keep silent when the wrong devours one more righteous than he? And would you make men like fish of the sea, like creeping creatures that have no ruler over them? The wicked foe has pulled all of them up with a hook, caught them in his net, and gathered them in his dragnet. Therefore, he rejoices and exalts. Therefore, he offers to his net and burns incense to his dragnet, for by them is his portion fat, and his food is rich. Is he therefore to keep on emptying his net and slaying nations without sparing? Habakkuk 2. I stand at my watch and station myself in the watchtower and wail to see what he says to me. I'm sorry. And wait to see what he says to me and what answer when I am reproved. And Yahweh answers me and said, write the vision and inscribe it on tablets, so that he who reads it runs. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, and it speaks of the end and does not lie. If it lingers, wait for it, for it shall certainly come. It shall not delay. See, he whose being is not upright in him is puffed up, but the righteous lives by his faithfulness. The Haftorah portion for the day is the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 1. And we'll read that now. Isaiah chapter 1. The vision of Yeshayahu, son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Yehuda, Judah, and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, all kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and hear, O earth, for Yahweh has spoken. I have reared and brought up children, but they have transgressed against me. An ox knows its owner and a donkey its master's crib, yet Israel does not know. My people have not understood. Alas, sinning nation, a people loaded with crookedness, a seed of evildoers, sons acting corruptly. They have forsaken Yahweh. They have provoked the set apart one of Israel. They went backward. Why should you be beaten anymore? You continue in apostasy. All the head is sick, and all the heart faints. From the sole of the foot to the head, there is no soundness in it. Wounds and bruises and open sores, they have not been closed or bound up or soothed with ointment. Your land is laid waste, your cities are burned with fire. Strangers devour your land in your presence, and it is laid waste as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a booth in a vineyard, as a hut in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Verse 9 of Isaiah 1. Unless Yahweh of hosts had left us a small remnant, we would have become like Sodom. We would have been made like Amorah. Hear the word of Yahweh, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the Torah of our Elohim, you people of Amorah. Of what use to me are your many sacrifices, declares Yahweh. I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand to trample my courtyards? Stop bringing futile offerings. Incense is an it is an abomination to me. New moons, Sabbaths, the calling of meetings. I am unable to bear unrighteousness and assembly. So Yahweh's not saying that these things, which some of which we know he wants us to do, are bad things, but the way people are doing them, they're mixing in false religion with Yahweh's religion and saying, well, that's okay. We understand it better now. And when you spread out your hands, I hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I do not hear. Your hands have become filled with blood. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Stop doing evil. Learn to do good. Seek right ruling, justice. Reprove the oppressor. Defend the fatherless and plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, says Yahweh. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you submit and obey, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of Yahweh has spoken. How the steadfast city has become a whore. I have filled it with right ruling, righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. Your silver has become dross, your wine is mixed with water. Your rulers are stubborn and companions of thieves. Everyone loves bribes and runs after rewards. They do not defend the fatherless, nor does the cause of the widow reach them. Therefore, the Master declares, Yahweh of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, ah, I should be eased of my adversities, and I shall be avenged of my enemies. And I shall turn my hand against you, and shall refine your dross as with lye, and shall remove all your alloy. And I shall give back your judges as at the first, and your counselors as at the beginning. After this, you shall be called the city of righteousness, a steadfast city. Zion shall be redeemed with right ruling, and her returning ones with righteousness. And the destruction of the transgressors and of sinners is together, and those that forsake Yahweh shall be consumed. For they shall be ashamed of the terebinth trees which you have desired. And you shall be embarrassed because of the gardens which you have chosen. For you shall be as a terebinth whose leaf fades, and as a garden that has no water. The strong shall be for lo, and his work a spark, and both shall burn together with no one to extinguish. The Jewish calendar has Tisha B'Av beginning after sunset on July 29th, about 11 days from now. This is not a commanded fast, nor a set-apart day, but I personally plan to observe Tisha B'Av with our Jewish brothers on the ninth day after the new moon, July 30th, 2020. By fasting without food or water, repenting, meditating on faithfulness, praying for Yahweh's chosen Jewish people to find faithfulness and righteousness, and reading the following scriptures, many of which are traditional Jewish readings for the day. Here are the readings. And for those of you who are here with me, I have a list that I'll pass out. But I'll read them for those who are maybe taking notes online. Okay. The evening reading for the day before, after sundown, is the Book of Lamentations. That'll take a little while. Not all evening, but good part of it. The morning readings for the 30th of July are Deuteronomy 4, verses 25 to 40, Jeremiah 8, verse 13 to 9, verse 23, and John 2, verses 13 to 25. The afternoon readings, and it's any time between noon and sundown, Exodus 32, 11 to 14, and Exodus 34, 1 to 10, Isaiah 55, 8 to 56, 3, Hosea 14, verses 2 to 10, Micah 7, 13 to 20, and John 8, 12 to 58. The fasting on this day will not last forever. In Zechariah 8, verse 19, we read, "Thus says Yahweh of hosts, the fast of the fourth day, fourth month, the fast of the fifth month, the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth shall be joy and gladness and cheerful feasts for the house of Judah. Therefore, love, truth, and shalom." So we can realize that Tisha B'Av may be a day of sorrow today, as it has been for, 3,000, 4,000 years now. More than 4,000 years. It's been the time of many sad events, catastrophic events. But a better day is coming, when everyone who remains alive will be dedicated to following Yahweh and will receive the rewards of obedience to Yahweh's ways and be pleased to feast on the ninth of Av and the other days in Yahweh's kingdom. May Yahweh bless you and each of us, and we pray that we will be there. Hallelujah.